There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So many books, so little time. That's why it's great to hand over to bookworms in the UAE on this show sometimes for their recommendations and their reviews.
Readers recommend.
Do you fancy a good read or need some gift inspiration for the bookworms in your life? Crime fiction writer and aficionado Daisy Lyne has got you covered with two celebrated crime novels with an Edinburgh connection. Welcome to the show.
I am really happy to be here. No less that we've been talking about camels, because I absolutely adore camels and my husband won't let me have any.
How many books, copies of the book have you already purchased?
Well, I was kind of sitting listening, so I haven't been. I'm going to go straight after the show and I've one copy for me for Christmas. That's my own present. I think my dad might like a copy. He likes a camel.
I feel like there will be hundreds of these books purchased today. Yes. And they will all be by you.
Yes, yes, I do love a camel. Right, look, over the camels, over the hump, we're going to go all tatties and neeps, thistles and shortbread, which is actually quite apposite because yesterday was St. Andrew's Day, wasn't it? St. Andrew's Day?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yes, so all you people that have been waving the saltire, is that what you call it? Oh gosh, if I'm making bad mistakes here, you're going to get lots of Scots calling you and saying, that's not how you say it. We have got In a House of Lies, Ian Rankin, who of course will be with us next year at the festival. So I am going to be nice.
This is the latest Rebus novel.
This is the latest Rebus novel. And also we've got, thank you so much for giving me this to read, The Way of All Flesh by Ambrose Parry. Where do you want to go first, Mr. Rankin or Mr. Parry?
Why, so I think it's difficult because there's an Edinburgh connection to both of them. There I think is. We should go in chronological order because The Way of All Flesh is set in 1847.
It is.
And I think we should go from there to present day. So kick us off with The Way of All Flesh.
Okay, The Way of All Flesh, Ambrose Parry. Who is Ambrose Parry? Not just one person. Actually, Ambrose Parry was a 15th century French military surgeon who kind of discovered this obstetric process, which is used in the plot of the book. So obviously Ambrose Parry, the real Ambrose Parry, didn't write The Way of All Flesh because this is a contemporary novel, as in it was out this year. It's Chris Brookmyre, who is a writer in his own right, and his wife, Maria Hartzman. And she's actually an anaesthetist, and she discovered all this incredible history about Edinburgh and all the obstetrics and the anaesthetists because she was studying a master's. And all these beautiful stories came out, these incredible stories of medicine, how anaesthesia was kind of happened upon, all these people taking these weird and wonderful concoctions and falling over and what have you. They decided that together they were going to write this book. And I love the way they describe that they kind of sat by the kitchen at the kitchen table and pushed bits of paper to each other because Marcia, is it Marcia?
Marissa.
Marissa, thank you very much. Sorry, Marissa. I've written Maria down here. They both have their skill sets. So one of them's a writer. One of them's very much in the medical field.
She's got this strong research base.
20 years in anaesthetics. So they've done this together and they have created this most amazing book. And I'm really, really happy that this isn't going to be the last one. This is a series. So I was very happy because I was very sad when I finished it. We've got middle of the 1800s. So there's not really much in the way of modern stuff. There's a massive cast as in House of Lies. We've got Professor James Simpson, who is actually a real professor.
So this is what I found interesting. So there's a cast of fictional characters,
yes,
but then a fictionalised narrative of people who actually existed.
Exactly. Feeds very well into the Costa debate, fact versus fiction, doesn't it? Because this is a lovely collaboration of the pair of them. So you have got lots of things that are going on. There's lots of talking about photography, which was obviously new on the scene. There's lots of talk about medical stuff. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, the murder. That comes right in the first sentence. You're not, there's no ambiguity here. You literally open the book and wham, bam, there's a dead body right there. And this happens to be the friend of Will Raven, who is the main character. This is the vehicle that the two authors have said they wanted to use somebody other than James Simpson, Professor James Simpson, to take the story through. Now, this poor guy, he's apprenticed to James Simpson, who is very, very famous throughout the world, which was quite difficult in those days because you didn't even have the transatlantic telecommunications, which was still a decade
and
or
no
so
Snapchat
off.
No Snapchat either.
No Snapchat, absolutely no Snapchat whatsoever. And your postal service was only kind of, it wasn't even the age of majority, it wasn't even 21 years old. So it was very difficult to be internationally famous. He had people travelling from Japan and all over the place to consult him. So he's apprenticed to this extremely famous doctor. He doesn't know quite why. And he comes from the old part of Edinburgh, which is quite down at heel, not like Newtown, which is full of very privileged and affluent people. Now, James Simpson, Dr. James Simpson, Professor James Simpson, uses the money that he makes from all these clients to then go back into the old town and help people of lesser means. And
free of charge.
Free of charge, absolutely, accepts nothing. So Will Raven, main character, he is just about to be apprenticed to this guy. He finds the dead body of his friend, who he has lent 2 guineas to. Now, that's not a huge amount of money now.
But it
but
was
then. It was a huge amount. And he'd borrowed it from a couple of gangsters, Mr. Mm-hmm. Flint and Messrs. Flint. And I think he calls one of them Gargantuan and one of them Peg, one of them Weasel. So he's in trouble here. So he thinks he's going to escape and he thinks he's going to make loads of money working with James Simpson. Of course, apprentices weren't paid then. They were just given board and lodging. But he soon finds out that he's actually going back into the old town and helping these people of lesser means. He's got lots of problems. He's actually living a secret life. He's reinventing himself for the second time. I'm not going to tell you what the reinvention was the first time because that's going to spoil stuff. He arrives at James Simpson's house full of bluster and expecting to fill his pockets full of gold. Bumps into the maid. She's not just the maid. This is a really interesting thing. And the authors, again, have said that they really wanted to push this. It was pre-suffrage. The fact that this poor maid, who also worked as a nurse and had incredible intelligence, was kept where she was. So they wanted to look at that in the book as well. They wanted to look at the way that women were limited, not just by low birth, but because of their gender. So Sarah, poor Sarah, she is quite a feisty character, and I really, really liked her. I really liked her all the way through the book. Will and Sarah do not hit it off because he comes in and decides that obviously he's the one with the brains, she's not the one with the brains, but through the book they do have to work together. It's no Holmes and Watson scenario at all. They really do not get on. They have to discover who is getting rid of all these women, because Evie, the friend of Will, who we discover right in the first sentence, is not the only murder done in this way. It's a torturous murder, and actually Will says she was in a state of contortion, as though the pain that had carried her off was still with her and there had been no release in death. It's just a very short sentence there. I have to say that the language in this book, the way that they have crafted this novel between the two of them, is absolutely insanely beautiful language. They've captured everything. They've captured this era beautifully. Do you know when somebody, you get put in the way of a book where you don't just fall into the book and you don't just get the story, you just fall in love with the words that are coming off the page as well. This is that book for me this year. I'm going to have to say, Ambrose Parry, the pair of you have absolutely made my reading year. I loved this book. So if we're into historical crime, this is definitely the one for you.
This
definitely.
Is The Way of All Flesh.
The Way of All Flesh.
By Ambrose Parry, who is two people. It's a husband and wife, Chris Brookmeyer and Marissa Hartsman, who is an anaesthetist at Edinburgh hospitals, or works. They live in Edinburgh, and what's so interesting is that they've chosen James Simpson, who invented or was the person who first used chloroform to help women in childbirth, and also he invented the forceps that bear his name for helping with childbirth. So a fantastic historical crime fiction novel where you've got all these true things, and it's a case of trying to wend your way through the two, which I think is the best kind of book.
It teaches you so much. It really, really does teach you. I love books like that, that actually, they don't just give me the story. They give me some information about stuff as well. It was a cracking, cracking read. So if you've got anybody in your family or your friends that love historical crime fiction, this is definitely the book for them and for you.
And you've got a bit more of a contemporary novel with an Edinburgh connection to talk about now.
We've kind of come forward a few hundred years or a couple of hundred years. Ian Rankin, his latest, In a House of Lies. So after 24 books with the same character, has he run out of steam?
That is the question.
No. Fans of Ian Rankin are never going to get bored of Rebus. Isabel and I were just talking. He has humanity. You can't help it. He has humanity. Yes, he's got his problems, but he has not. Mr. Rankin hasn't run out of steam here. We've got a slightly different beginning, but it still has a murder straight off, which I like. I like to just get the body out of the way.
Yeah, I like it when crime fiction just gets to the point.
Just give me a body and then I'll be happy, absolutely happy. So there's a body found in the back of a car that's in a gully in Porton Woods. Now, I did actually ring one of my Scots friends and ask how I should pronounce that, Porton Woods, because it's spelled P-O-R-E-T-O-U-N. I wasn't quite. I would have said from the south of the border, Portoon, but apparently that's not right. It's Porton. So this body is found by some lads who are larking about in the woods. He is shackled with a pair of what could or could not be police issue handcuffs. Now, the original inquiry as to the MISPA, the missing person, guess who was on the inquiry team? Yes, it was Mr. Rebus. And he, now retired, is knocking about, not drinking, not smoking, not being very Rebus-like, but it's not Rebus-like. This is full fat Rebus. You're not going to be disappointed. It's still the Rebus that we know and love. He's knocking about. His erstwhile colleague, what's her name? Siobhan Clark. She's been seconded to MIT for the duration of the investigation into this dead body that's found in the car.
What's MIT?
MIT, it's... Now you're asking. What's
MIT? It's the...
investigation team. Yeah, murder investigation team.
There we go.
I thought it was an American university, MIT. Well, there is one.
That's immediately what I thought of. But in this context, it's something else.
Not in Edinburgh.
Just throw me that curveball there when I'm not concentrating on it. So she's seconded to MIT for the duration of this investigation. We've got another old face, Malcolm Fox, who's also seconded to MIT, but he's digging into the original investigation, which obviously Rebus was included in. Did they make mistakes? Were there cover-ups? The family of the body in the trunk, the Bloom family, they are convinced that there was a cover-up. They have elicited an apology from the chief constable of Police Scotland or Scotland Police Scotland. So there's this whole kind of feeling that the police have got it wrong. They're always on the back foot. Whose head's going to roll? Why was this body found there? It wasn't there the whole time this guy was missing. What's been going on? So Siobhan, bless her, is trying to cover Rebus's, I was going to say something that I shouldn't say on radio, his reputation.
There we go.
That's you. Cover his reputation. And actually, Rebus is trying to do the same with Siobhan because she's had a run-in with ACU, which is Anti-Corruption Unit. Yes. Because she's been very friendly with Laura Smith from the press. So she's having her reputation guarded by Rebus, and she's guarding Rebus's reputation. This is a test of friendship. Things get realigned. People aren't exactly who they say they are. There's a lot of things going on in the background. Throw in a couple of gangsters. One of them's got the best name ever, Big Ger Cafferty. Why can't I be called Big Ger Daisy? I think, actually, I quite like that. That gives
You'd get tired of it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
We've got these gangsters, very similar to Way of Flesh. The Way of All Flesh. We've got a gangster element in there. We've got definitely the affluent and the not so affluent in here. We've got poor Siobhan is being stalked by an old case. So Rebus goes in there. So that's a little side story. But is it a side story, we say? There's everything in this book. It just keeps you going and going and going. There isn't a dull moment in there. There is. It's edited superbly. It's not tired. Give us another one, Mr. Rankin. Possibly by the time you come in March, if you could. That would be nice. Thank you very much.
Just a humble request there.
Just a little
Daisy
humble
line.
Request, yes. Yeah. If you're not too busy, if you haven't got anything else to do.
I love that he sets up all these different conflicts and questions in the space of, I'd say, about 10 pages.
Yes.
And it sounds like it would be confusing. And it's the kind of book where I'd be like, because I need a lot of clarity when it comes to my crime fiction. And I never see the twists coming. I'm that kind of reader as well. But he does it with such clarity that you're there along with him. He never makes you feel like, you know, that you can't keep up.
Yes. One of my bugbears about crime writing is you kind of get to the last couple of chapters and all of a sudden somebody throws something in there that you had no idea. You couldn't possibly have guessed.
So you couldn't actually have solved it.
So you couldn't solve it. I do like to try and solve it. I'm not very good at solving it. I'm okay with Agatha Christie because I've read all of them about 50 times. So I some of them I do remember. I don't remember all of them. But he's brilliant because he does, you're right, he takes you along there and there are clues in there. And actually with this one, it was one of the first ones I had an inkling who possibly may have been responsible for all this mayhem.
Were you right?
I was.
Oh, In a House of Lies. Happens.
In a House of Lies.
By Ian Rankin, who is an absolute master of crime novels. I think he's sold 28 million copies worldwide.
Just a few. Yeah.
And I think he has a brilliant style that is very much his own. He's developed his own type of characters that we can believe in. It's very, very believable. And, of course, it's set in Edinburgh. It's set in Scotland. And, again, we get the real feel of the place, the little sort of touches that it would only be possible if you'd lived and you'd sort of imbibed that. And, of course, he's a great music fan as well. And that tends to always play its
way
through.
Yes, there are a few scenes in there with some mentions of his favourite bands on there. Yeah.
Usually the title of his books are connected in some way to music. I think this one actually isn't, In a House of Lies.
Oh, right.
But
okay,
a lot of his other ones do have a connection to either song lyrics or song titles.
That's and cool. We're so looking forward to welcoming him back because he's a wonderful speaker with a dry Scottish humour. And it's lovely just to be able to ask him questions about, you know, different parts of his books or what he's doing now or what he thinks about this and I suppose the face of solving crimes in reality is changing because with, you know, there are cold case crimes now that they are finding who did it because of DNA that was maybe collected. And now they are so advanced in being able to actually say, this is the person. Mm. You know.
But what I love with Rebus, although he's retired, he's not actually a serving officer anymore. But he still uses the old ways, but he's mixing that in. He's using everybody else to do all the stuff that the DNA stuff, all the IT stuff, all the AI that you were talking about, the camels. He uses his own instinct and he still goes old cop on us. And I love that.
Yeah, but they say that I'm pointing to the end of my nose, a copper's nose, that they can, you know, it's body language. And there's a particular thing that when someone's guilty, if you're a psychiatrist, if you ask a psychiatrist to point out if someone is guilty or they're showing signs of stress, they'll tell you all these things. It's never what they say. It's never the clues. Mm. It is often that, you know, just that gut
the
instinct.
Tells. It's the tells, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
And it's lovely. You do actually get, that's really funny that you say that, because when you read the book, just think about that. When you're trying to work out who it is.
In a House of Lies by Ian Rankin. And it tied in really, really well. Annabelle, what a brilliant job
Isn't
you
she
did.
Good?
Isn't she good?
Oh, thank you.
We had The Way of All Flesh by Ambrose Parry, which was set in 1847 Edinburgh, city of medicine, money and murder. And then we come much more up to the present day with In a House of Lies, Ian Rankin. Crime coming out of your ears at next year's 2019 Emirates Festival of Literature. You can check online www.emiratesLitFest.com to see the whole lineup of authors who are going to be delighting and giving us things to solve next year.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.